whatever you do, there's that word whatever again, and whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord and not for men.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome to Straight Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joshua Halleck, here with Pastor Mark Job from New Life Community Church, and we are in a series titled, In His Image, Renewing Our Relationships. Pastor Mark, you're going to talk to us today about our work relationships and how we see our job. And I'll never forget one of my first adult jobs. I was working a summer. The sun was rising in the morning, and I was driving into the office. And then when I was coming home, the sun was going down, and I spent my entire day creating train tickets for people in Europe. And I remember thinking, how can this be a good way to spend my life? I think maybe a lot of people feel that way about their jobs.
Yeah, you know, we spend so much time at work, and some people love their job, and you are in a place that is just using all of your gifts and all of your talents, and you feel like, hey, this doesn't even feel like work because I'm so engaged. And there's some people that roll out of the bed in the morning and have to really drink 3 cups of espresso coffee just to get themselves up and motivated to go to work for 8 hours that day. So whether you love your job or hate your job, the Bible has a lot to say about our perspective towards work. Mm-hmm. In fact, this is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture related to work, because the Apostle Paul says, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what Paul really ends up telling us is that we're ultimately working not for our boss, who may not appreciate us or see what we're doing, but ultimately we're working for God. And when we can kind of understand that perspective, that my job is service to God, it's part of my ministry, part of my calling, it revolutionizes the way we go to work. And so this is going to be a powerful, powerful passage for those of you that are struggling with your work environment, even right now.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Well, the passage is Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 through 4, verse 1, and it's titled, Who Are You Working For?
My first job that I remember that I actually got paid for on a regular basis was a dishwasher at a hotel. And I took on a job in which I actually lived at the hotel. Many of you know that I grew up in Spain. And so this hotel was in southern France. So it was at a French hotel on the coast. I know it sounds nice, but it wasn't that nice because I was working in the hotel. And my job was to wash the big pots and pans of the restaurant at that hotel. And I remember getting up at 5 in the morning and washing dishes at a French hotel for 8 hours in a hot, steamy kitchen with the French chef screaming at me in French. I learned a lot of French cuss words because I'm sure that's mainly what he was screaming at me in. But I remember after a week of working, they called it la plonge, which is, you know, the dishwashing. After a week of working there, I thought, I do not like this job. This is hot, dirty, grimy, low-paid, miserable job. It did 2 things to me. It made me appreciate what other people do. And it also made me want to go get a college degree. But I remember I had to check my attitude as I went to wash those dishes, and it was hard because I did not like the work that I was doing, and I had to check my attitude and say, you know, there's people that do this all their life and really have to check their attitude as how they go to work. And I realized then and there that work isn't always fun. You don't always do what you want to do. It's not always as fulfilling as you think it's going to be, and it can be challenging to go to work with the right attitude. Colossians chapter 3 is all about taking off the old you and putting on the new you. Take off the old, put on the new. Tell the person beside you, take off the old, put on the new. Come on, tell the person on the other side, take off the old, put on the new.
If you are going to be an authentic follower of Jesus Christ, that's the call upon your life. This is who you were. Now this is who God is calling you to be. Colossians chapter 3, in essence, tells us if you are an authentic follower of Christ, the old you has to be crucified, done away with, taken off, along with the old attitudes and mindsets that you used to have. This is who you used to be, but now God is calling you to be someone else. The problem with a lot of us is that we've had a fresh encounter with God and surrendered our life to God, but we take our old mindset into our new life. So some of you are saved, you've given your life to Christ, but you still have an old mindset when it comes to your marriage. And so although you're a new person in Christ, you're still the old mentality when it comes to marriage. Some of you have come to Christ, but you still parent the way you used to parent before you came to Christ. Some of you have come to Christ, but you still have the same mentality and attitudes about your job that you used to when you had not come to Christ. And so what the Apostle Paul is telling us is if you have truly come to Christ, everything about your life needs to change. You cannot be a follower of Christ and still behave like the old you. Christ will cause you to change your attitude, your worldview, everything that you were. And so the Apostle Paul is talking to the people at Colossae, and he's telling them, now that you are Christians, legitimate Christians, Christianity doesn't just change the way you worship. Some of you say, well, I used to go to worship at a different place, and the worship service was different, and I used to do this and have this ritual, but now I'm a Christian, so I do it different on Sunday morning. Christianity is more than just what you do for an hour and a half on Sunday morning. Christianity should permeate your life so that you are different Monday through Sunday. It should show up in the way you live your life. Religion changes the way we worship. Relationship changes our life. And so the Apostle Paul, I'm going to read a few verses in Colossians chapter 3 regarding this change of life. I'm going to begin reading in verse 17. He says, and whatever you do, say whatever. Now you sound like your teenager. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And after he said, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, now he tells us how we are to do things in our marriage, in our parenting, and at our jobs. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. How many of you know you need a lot of strength to do that? Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. You need a lot of Holy Spirit power to do that. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. You need also the work of God for that. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. So he deals with our relationships in our family, and now he switches gears, and he talks about work. Now, before I read these passages, let me explain something, because he starts out by saying slaves. The Apostle Paul chooses the worst job that existed in the Roman Empire at the time. They tell us that in the days that Paul wrote this letter, there was close to 60 million bond servants or indebted servants, or what we would call slaves, at the time when Paul wrote this letter. One third to almost one half of the population was considered indebted servants. Now, it was a little bit different than the slavery that we knew in America, because the slavery that we have known in the past in America targeted one ethnic group, and it was particularly directed towards Africans that were brought into America. So it was especially devious and evil to enslave a race of people. Slavery in the Roman Empire was not directed to one group of people. There were people from every ethnicity and background that were indebted servants. And it was a little different than slavery in America in the sense that slaves did have rights. You could buy your way out of slavery. Eventually, there were judges that would mediate between how a slave was treated or not. So it wasn't as atrocious as the slavery that existed here in North America. But it was the reality for many people in the Roman Empire. In fact, one of the books of the Bible that exists in New Testament was written to a slave owner whose slave had run away from him. It's called the book of Philemon. Have you seen it in the New Testament? You say, yeah, I thought it was Philemon, Pastor. No, it's Philemon. And the book of Philemon is, it's the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is writing to Philemon about a slave that had run away, and his name was Onesimus. Onesimus, it appears, had robbed something from Philemon and fled from his master's household and ended up in Rome. And when he was in Rome, he heard the gospel preached through the Apostle Paul, and he became a Christian when he was in Rome. And so Paul is writing a letter back to Philemon. And I want you to hear one verse, two verses out of Philemon chapter 1, verse 15 through 16. Paul says to Philemon, "For this is perhaps why he was parted from you for a while." In other words, God had a purpose in him running away. "That you may have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but as a beloved brother." Which was unheard of in those days. Paul says, "I'm sending him back to you, not as a piece of property, but as an equal brother in Christ. Especially to me, but how much more to you, both in this flesh and in the Lord."
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called "Who Are You Working For?" It's from Pastor Mark Job's series called "In His Image, Renewing Our Relationships." After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of tonight's message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 22, as well as chapter 4, verse 1. Tonight's message is called "Who Are You Working For?"
And by the way, some people have seen Paul addressing slavery in the New Testament as though he were condoning slavery, as though he were undergirding or saying that slavery was legitimate, which is not the case. Paul was just addressing an existing issue in the Roman Empire. And let me say this also about what happened in those days. In those days, slavery, there was no place where slave owners and slaves themselves would interact socially together, except when Christianity came. Jesus said, "In me, there is no Greek or Jew or slave or free. We are all one in Jesus Christ." And so it was in Christianity that people of all social demographics gathered together at equality of par, because Jesus Christ taught that we are all equal in Jesus. Amen? And so it should be in the Church of the Living God. I believe that the church should be a place where people of all demographics, ethnicities, backgrounds come together and worship God, where CEOs and dishwashers sit next to each other and believe in a brotherhood, where the rich and the poor, the black and the white, the Hispanic and the Asian come together and say, "We are different, but we are one because Jesus Christ is our Lord and God is our Father," in Jesus' name. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, if he takes the worst job in the world, and he says, even if you're working the worst job in the world, this is the attitude that I want you to have. And so he gives the believers three changes of attitudes that he says, as a follower of Christ, now you must embrace this kind of attitude at your workplace. I'm going to begin. The first attitude is this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, you need to put on an attitude of full integrity. Servants or attendants or bondservants, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. So Paul is talking to the worst job that existed in those days. And he's saying, if you're working at a job that's the worst job in the world, that no one wants, I still want you to have the best attitude in the world. So first of all, know what your job is and what the chain of command is. And then he says, I want you to not just work when the boss is around. I want you to work as if the boss is always around. And I want you to do it with sincerity of heart. And I want you to do it out of reverence for the Lord. How many of you know that we work differently when the boss is right next to us than when the boss is gone sometimes? I had a job when I was working my way through college here in Chicago, and it was at an aluminum can factory, and they made paint cans, and I was working on the assembly line, and I was just the new kid on the block, but I soon discovered that there was a pattern, that they had a whole system. When the boss or the supervisor came around, everybody worked diligently to get their job. They were in position and did not talk. When the supervisor walked away, there was a signal. Someone would say, he's gone. And then everybody would go, pull out their pack of cigarettes, light up a little bit, smoke a little bit, sit and talk. And there was a watch guy. He would watch to see if the supervisor would come. And as soon as they said the supervisor's coming, they would throw down their cigarette, put it out, and get back to work and get back to their positions. Because when the boss wasn't there, they went to play. But when the boss was present, they wanted to act like they were working. How many of you know what I'm talking about because you've seen it or you've been there? Whoa. And what the Apostle Paul is saying to these believers, he says, that's the way you used to work. You used to be men pleasers. You worked when the boss was around, but when the boss was gone, you would change your work habits. And notice what he says. And do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Two attitudes he's telling us to have. One, sincerity of heart. Sincerity means that you have integrity. That you are the same when someone is looking as when they're not looking. Legend says that the word sincerity, the Latin word sincerity that we have, means without wax. Now, some people argue whether this is true or not, but it's told in legend that in the market during the days of the Roman Empire, they would sell statues, and maybe a statue when it was cracked, they would put colored wax in the statue to cover up the crack of the statue so that when someone bought it, they thought that it was a flawless statue, that it was a statue full of integrity, that there was no cracks. Then when you put it in your yard in the hot Middle Eastern sun, the wax would begin to melt and the cracks would begin to show, and you realize that what you thought you bought, you really didn't get. And so sincerity without wax means that if you say, hey, are you sincere? In other words, does this have no wax? You're really not covering up. That's the etymology of that word. So the idea is the same. When someone is sincere, it means that they're without hypocrisy. That you are the same at work when you're in front of your supervisor as when your supervisor is not there. It means that you're the same person in front and behind the scenes. So here's what the Apostle Paul is saying. The Apostle Paul is saying, now that you're a believer, I'm asking you not to have a double standard. Now that you are a believer, I want you to behave the same with or without your boss present, because you're doing this out of the fear or the reverence of God. And which is the second thing he says, that you need to do it because ultimately you do it because you honor God with how you work and not just because you're trying to get points for your boss. Are you tracking with me? How would your life change or your work style change if you worked the same when your boss was present or gone? When you didn't cut out early half a day when no one was watching, or when you didn't cut corners because you felt like, I'm doing this for God, not just because someone can see me. I'm doing it with integrity, my job. I know no one may see what may be underground in the plumbing job that I did, and I can cut corners and do it faster, but I know that God is watching, so I do the best with integrity. I finish the job well because ultimately I'm doing this with a sincere heart full of integrity and out of reverence for the Lord. Now, I don't know what job you currently have right now or what position you're in. Some of you are students. Some of you are part-time. Some of you are working full-time. You may be a full-time homemaker right now. But whatever you're called to do, I know that it's important that you do it with integrity and do it well because you're serving God. So I'm going to ask you to shout out to me in just a moment. I'm going to ask you, what is it? What is your position, or what is your job, or what are you called to do right now? Okay? When I say 1, 2, 3, just tell me out loud. 1, 2, 3. Some of you have long titles, so it took you a while to get it all in there. Whatever you're called to do right now, you may think it's a menial job. Like, hey, Pastor, it's not really the job that I want. I'm just working my way up the ladder. It doesn't matter. I believe that followers of Jesus Christ should be the best workers on the face of this earth, because they're doing it ultimately not for men, but they're doing it for God. You have a higher motivation with integrity. The quality of your work reflects the God that you serve. As a believer, you should do the best job that you can do, whether your boss appreciates it or not, whether your pay reflects it or not, whether there is politics at your job or not, whether the cousin of someone that's related is getting the job promotion and you're not. It doesn't matter. The condition of your job should not determine the excellence of your job, because ultimately you are doing this out of integrity, and ultimately you are doing this for God and not for man. You are a God pleaser, not a man pleaser. Amen? Which really leads to the second point. Notice what he says in the following verse. He says, and whatever you do, there's that word whatever again, and whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord and not for men. So first of all, he says, put on an attitude full of integrity. Secondly, he says, put on an attitude full of enthusiasm. Whatever you do, whether you're washing dishes, mopping floors, running a company, determining a budget, inputting data into a computer, teaching kindergarten kids, serving as a law enforcement officer, a security guard, driving a truck, working on an assembly line, and whatever you do, by the way, can I tell you this? Your job does not determine your value.
Well, this concludes the first half of our message called Who Are You Working For? It's from our series called In His Image, Renewing Our Relationships. As I mentioned in the middle of our program, here's some information on Straight Talk. Straight Talk is a radio ministry of New Life Community Church in Chicago. And if you enjoyed tonight's message, we invite you to download for free our Straight Talk app, which can be found at Pastor Mark's website, www.pastormarkjobe.com. That's pastormarkjobe.com. There you can also find out information about New Life Community Churches around Chicago. There's a Bible app as well, and previous Straight Talk programs if you've missed any. If you'd prefer to have a CD of our message, just call our office at 773-585-3300 and we'll send it right out to you for just $5 plus shipping. Please do tell a friend about our Straight Talk program as well. We appreciate the help in spreading the word. We hope that you've enjoyed tonight's broadcast. We thank you for listening. Have a great night, and please do join us again tomorrow for the second half of this message called Who Are You Working For? Have a great night. God bless.